I was trying to think about what would be appropriate for the last month of the year of a subject matter that to preach about on Sunday nights. I decided to take a look at the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, as you think about it, we often value things such as money, other things, but one of the things that always should be valued is the idea of wisdom. And we realize that there's often different types of wisdom. There may be a wisdom that deals with maybe the idea of physics. There may be a wisdom that deals with medicine. The best doctor isn't necessarily the doctor that made the hundreds on the test, but the doctor that can diagnose and listen and really put all the pieces together to get the right diagnosis. And maybe the wisdom of electronics, another type of wisdom like that. But in the Bible, there's a contrast between two different wisdoms. And James 3rd chapter, verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie, and do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exists, confusion, every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And there's other passages that we find that contrast the wisdom of this world versus, again, the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, where Paul talks about where is the wise, where is the scribe. And this points out not many of this world are obeying the gospel. That is, the scholars and those kind of people weren't necessarily the Christians, but those who are the lowly in this world. And so we think about the idea of wisdom. There's, again, the contrast, and we realize that today that there are often things that are said either directly or implied as far as values of wisdom that apply to us. And yet those things can often mislead people. For instance, we may say, okay, and there may be certain standards people have. For instance, if you have the more possessions, it means you're happier. And if I want to be happy, what do I need to do? Well, you need to get more stuff. You need to accumulate more things. And that'll make you happy. That is one of the stories we have, or one of the tales we often have. After all, how many television shows we see of people that are rich and are miserable? Well, you know, it's reality that is, but in the shows that we see that they're always happy and having a good time. Or maybe another one is the idea a person who does more or produces more is more important. The CEO of the company is inherently more important than the janitor, or simply your values depend on, again, how much you can produce in our country. Or maybe knowing that, but maybe the idea of everyone must belong and identify with some larger group. That you have to belong in some group. I like the statement somebody made, and that is even nonconformists run in packs. Yeah, they find other nonconformists to actually be identified with. And so we often think about what group can we pigeonhole people into. Or maybe the idea of perfect health means you have no problems. That if you're healthy, then everything else should be just fine, right? Well, that's sometimes not true. That a lot of problems we have is not related to health. And so these are some things that people say. And finally, a person is abnormal unless they're constantly happy. If you're not always having a party, if you're not always enjoying yourself and tremendously in some kind of endeavor you're involved in, then you are simply abnormal. And these are some of the values we see that's all portrayed as wisdom today, that you always need to be happy. And we realize that wisdom is something that really is needed in our lives. That you look and you find that it's something that is really lacking today as far as true wisdom. I decided to go look up some things, and there's this list that's called the Darwinian Awards. And the Darwinian Awards, if you look on the internet, you may have to put in the stupid awards. And it's such a thing as every year to give out these awards to people because of things they've done or things that happened. For instance, that a lady was sentenced to 20 years of prison for firing a warning shot. I can think about, how's that work? I mean, where's the wisdom in that? An insurance claim explained what happened. An American teenager was in the hospital recovering from serious head wounds received from an oncoming train. When asked how he received the injuries, the young man told the police they were simply trying to see how close he could get his head to the moving train before he was hit. Well, he found out, didn't he? Another story, in Ann Arbor News, a crime column reported a man walked into a Burger King in Michigan at 5 a.m. in the morning, flashed the gun to demand cash. The clerk turned him down because he said he couldn't open a cash register without a food order. When the man ordered onion rings, the clerk said they weren't available for breakfast. The man walked away angry. And that received a 5-star stupid award. And there's others they look at. The selfies of people that take pictures as they're about ready to die. You know, the one where the guy's in front of the train and literally he got hit by the same train he's taking the selfie in front of. Or the young lady that is on top of a cliff and she's taking the picture overhanging the digging off the edge of the cliff and she dies as soon as she takes the picture. And so those things are often what happens. Or that's some of what people do today. You kind of think about, they weren't very smart, were they? And they weren't very intelligent. We may say, didn't they have good wisdom? When you look at it, we see that wisdom again is lacking. And part of the reason is because something else has taken its place of true wisdom. Sometimes it's simply the teaching as far as situation ethics. Sometimes humanism is taught, and therefore that crowds out what true wisdom really is about. That's more along the lines of James 3rd chapter, about the kind of wisdom talked about there as far as being demonic and of this world. And so when we look at wisdom, we have to understand it's important to ask the right questions. But more importantly, or just as importantly, it's important to actually have the right answers from the right source. In other words, you ask questions and you'll find all kinds of different answers. For instance, you may ask, what's meaning life? Or you go around and asking various people, you don't get different answers, right? You may answer that Nitschke said, God is dead, and that's it. Well, where's Nitschke? Well, he's dead now. Or you may think about, if you ask some other people, if you ask as far as wisdom about child rearing, how should I rear my child so that I have a healthy, normal, active, well-behaved child is going to grow up to be a nice person? And that's an important question. I dare say it's a question about every parent has ever brought home a little child as they ask. And yet realize that if you go and ask some people, they're going to tell you one thing, another thing. That those of my generation or about that time period, Dr. Spock was very popular as far as his theory of child rearing, which was really kind of a passive child rearing. A whole generation was grew up on that kind of philosophy. Now you look around and think, okay, are we better off with passive parenting? I don't think so. Or you may ask as far as the idea of what's the meaning of life again, or what's good? And what is good ethics? What is something, how do you be a good person? When is it right to do things? When is it wrong to do things? Those kind of questions. And you stop thinking about that. Again, the answer, various answers we're going to get. If you ask some, for instance, you may think about what is good and bad, they're going to tell you that it's all relative. That there's no such thing as really good. There's no such thing as really bad. It's all from your perspective. And so we look at that and think about, okay, who can we ask? Can we ask our neighbors? Well, some of us have really good neighbors, but sometimes you look at your neighbors and realize that they don't have any great wisdom. They don't show in their lives. Do you ask the college professors? Again, it kind of depends on who the professor is and what their philosophy is, right? And do you ask religious leaders? Well, again, I dare say if you ask different preachers, different religious leaders, you're going to get as different answers as you will from the people, your neighbors. And so who do you ask? Well, basically the Bible says, okay, true wisdom comes from God. And Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And there, I understand he's talking about the idea of salvation, how we're saved in Christ, and how we need to listen to the gospel of Christ. But that is true for everything, and that is wisdom comes from God. It's what the Bible of Proverbs lays out for us. And after all, when you think about God, you realize that, you know, God gets us. One of the problems today, a lot of people have in thinking about God, is that they have either made God like it did in the first century, so far away and so absent that he doesn't even understand anything I'm going through. And that's easy to think that God doesn't realize what it's like to grow up in the 21st century. He doesn't understand what it's like in our society, in our environment, right? And a lot of people have that viewpoint. And then another viewpoint people often have is that the idea that God is just like our buddy, that God is your grandpa, and therefore he's okay with anything you do. When you look at the Bible, it says that God made us, and therefore God understands everything about us. And therefore God understands for us that he knows what we think. He knows how we think. Now think about this as a parent. Then you look at your child, and there's times every parent knows exactly what the child is thinking without that child actually saying anything. You know, because you know your child. You know the way they look at you. You know, maybe the circumstance they're in, you know how they feel because they hadn't even said a thing about you or to you. Well, God knows everything we're thinking and why we're thinking it. He knows us emotionally, how we respond. He knows what's going to make us happy, truly happy, and what's not, and what's going to make us sad. What's good for us and what's bad for us. God knows all those things. And not only that, but also what the Bible points out is that he's given us this wisdom then. And as he gives us some instructions about how we are to live, and he's done it in the Bible. Now, we're not talking about Proverbs, but there's other books in the Bible called wisdom literature. And of course, we know this here by, first of all, the book of Job. And we're all familiar here with the book of Job as far as the question about what happens when bad things happen to good people. How we respond to that. And all the way through Job, it kind of talks about how people struggle with bad things happening to them and having to trust in God. The Psalms. And the magnificence of God. And praising God through Psalms. But also the Psalms often talks about the coming of Jesus. And there's a lot of wisdom in Psalms. Proverbs that we're going to look at briefly tonight or Sunday night. And then Ecclesiastes. And as Solomon looks around at life and says, what's life all about? And as Solomon struggles life without God, if you take God out of the picture and pretend like he doesn't exist, what's life then? And that's so when you read through Ecclesiastes, you find that it's very bleak because if you take God out of the picture, there's not much else left. And then finally, Song of Solomon, as it deals with love, about love, you have infatuation with a young person or a person of the opposite sex and therefore deals with that. And all these things are wisdom for us. And then in the New Testament, we have the book of James. And James, 1st chapter 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. And so James is often talked about being the wisdom literature of the New Testament. And so we have this all given to us. Now, to go on, we find about Proverbs, some certain facts about it. One is that there are modern Proverbs we have. You know, with a handout that I have for our young people this morning, and that a lot of those Proverbs and that are things we've heard from Benjamin Franklin and other sources, and those things are wisdom expressed in our day and age. And then there's also the book of Proverbs, though. And Proverbs, the title comes from the first chapter, verse 1, when it said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so these are his writings. So a lot of these are his writings. In fact, that you look at what a proverb is it tells us, it makes a comparison, if you would. It's like a parallel or something like similar. The word proverb actually comes from the word pilgrim. They look at the Bible, which means to live alongside of. And so we look here and find, for instance, that in Proverbs 13, verse 1, here is something similar. That is, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And that is a comparison made between the two. Which one are you? Is a proverb here. And then also, may it describe by again comparing and contrasting in the case there. And actually that Proverbs 13 verse 1 comes closer to that there as far as contrasting too. Over in Proverbs 4 verse 18, it said, but the path of justice is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The day of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Again, a way of contrast, a way of comparison, right? And that is, if you're just and you see things, you understand where you need to be going, but if you're wicked, then you don't know where you're at. You're stumbling around in the dark. That's what it's telling us here. And so when you look at Proverbs then, it's a short statement expressing general truth. I know sometimes people say, yeah, but there's a few exceptions. There may be a few exceptions. But as a general rule, that when Proverbs says, for instance, train a child the way you go, as a general rule, that's the way the child's going to grow up and the way you train them. There are a few that may not do that. But as a general rule, that's true. And so when you think about the Proverbs, there are a lot of them that Solomon wrote. In fact, over in 2 Kings, it said that Solomon wrote over 300 Proverbs, along with a bunch of songs in that passage that talks about 2 Kings. And one of the things about Solomon is that in his writing of the Proverbs, we understand that his was from God, his wisdom, that is, that when you look at what he requested of God, whenever he became king of Israel, in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, it said, at Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Ask, and what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because walk before you in truth and righteousness and in rightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as is this day. Oh, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. They may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge great people of yours? The speech, and then verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor asked life for your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understand, discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any like you after you. And so we look at Solomon, and it points out there's a great wisdom he had. If you look over 1 Kings, the 4th chapter, and 1 Kings, the 4th chapter, and the very last verse of that chapter, and talking, describing the great wisdom of Solomon, all that he accomplished in his life, and verse 34 said, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth, he had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And so they understood, they appreciated what Solomon could actually tell them and the wisdom of Solomon showed in his life. Now you look at Proverbs though, we also find that there are some written by King Agur, and that's talked about in the 30th chapter, verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Jaet, his utterance. And then also some are spoken by King Lemuel. And that's the 31st chapter of Proverbs, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And so you have these three main sources as far as the Proverbs themselves. And the purpose of Proverbs really is, as we've been talking about, it really is the idea is to simply to impart wisdom. And that is to get you to understand things in this life. And really, as you read through Solomon, read through Proverbs, a lot of it, I can envision Solomon sitting down, maybe with one of his children or a young group of young people, and say, now listen to me. And start to talk to them about the practical things of life. And so we look at Proverbs first chapter, and it gives us the mission of this book. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember, no, sir, it's not just instruction, it's not just knowing things, but it's knowing what to do with those things that he's talking about here. I dare say a lot of what we read about Proverbs, we already know, as far as the knowledge of those things, but the wisdom to apply it is what he's really talking about in this book here. And so we think about that. Okay, how do you impart wisdom then? Well, the last part there, that seventh verse there, he just gave me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that is, if you want true wisdom, what he's saying is you got to listen to God. You got to listen to, you have to read his book. You have to read his word. And so when you go on, you'll find that you think about through his word, we gain wisdom. And in fact, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often personified as woman. And it talks about wisdom is crying out in the street. That wisdom wants your attention. That's almost like it's saying, here I am, pay attention to me, listen to what I have to say. And again, that's very important. Because when you think about it, again, we live in a day and age where a lot of wisdom really isn't shown. But it's very important. Sister Erwin Lee, that she was asked one time, how was that she brought her children? And she said, well, it's simple. She sat down with them and every day they read through Proverbs. And then she said, that was her manual. That was her book about childbearing. And so we have here, again, practical conditions of how to live on a daily basis. And I'll just end by saying there's common mistakes that every generation makes that Proverbs addresses. And if I were to ask you, okay, what are some things that you think is unique about your generation? And we probably say, okay, here's some things that I think. One is, I think that just about every generation believes they're smarter than everybody else. You know, as a young person, you look around and you look at your parents. Mark Twain made a statement one time, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly the age he was when he was saying this. He's kind of like an early teenager. And he said he looked at his dad and he thought his dad was an idiot. And then when he got to be like 35 or 40 or 45, something like that, he said he came back home and was amazed at how smart, much smarter his dad became. Well, you know, there's perspective on this here. And a lot of times the young person thinks, well, you can't tell me anything because I already know everything. Well, that's common. Another is that fornication, sin of fornication, sexual sins, lust of the flesh, the idea of seduction, all addressed here, the troubles of that, of unfaithfulness in marriage, and so the things that happen. Again, that's a common thing that from generation to generation we find. Not only that, but also drunkenness, or I could put here / drug use. The fact is that a lot of times people want to have good time. Sometimes they use it to get escape their troubles, and they decide that let's just party it out. Let's just have a great party. Well, Solomon addresses that as far as what happens when you get involved in that kind of lifestyle. And then also of laziness. I don't want to have to do anything. Or I want things at the least possible effort on my part. I want to find a shortcut in order to attain success in life. Now, why is it that there have all these info commercials at midnight or on television about how you can invest or how you can have your own business? And it takes almost nothing down, almost no effort at all. And all you have to do is send in $20 to this post office box, and they're going to tell you exactly how you become rich and a millionaire. Well, you know the reason that, because there's a lot of people that says, that sounds good to me. It doesn't make any sense that you don't have, that they have this great knowledge. If I had the great knowledge, I'd be rich already. I wouldn't even have to advertise it. And so the laziness is a common theme here. And also associating with the wrong people. I have the wrong kind of friends. And so Solomon warns us about what happens if you get yourself in the wrong crowd of people. Again, it's amazing that when you look at Christians, I remember as a teenager, certain young ladies and the guys they were bringing in to services, the guys that come in to Bible class. Now, there's nothing wrong about talking to somebody about the Bible and maybe somebody that you're trying to study with, you're trying to introduce the Bible. But it seemed like every guy they came in with was always a rebellious person. And I mean truly a rebellious person. And many times you can see the results of that as they got in trouble. Or associated with the wrong people the Bible talks about. And also the uncontrolled spirit and tongue. About anger. About what happens when I give in to anger. What happens when I decide just kind of throw off all restraints. Again, that's common. That's a common problem people have. And finally, there's one of dishonesty. The idea of cheating or stealing or taking things that belong to me. And those are all kind of common things you look through the book of Proverbs that talks about for us to understand. And as you do this, just keep in mind that, again, a common theme is God's knowledge and wisdom is much better than ours. And, in fact, over in Psalms 53, verse 1, the 53rd Psalm, in verse 1, let me get over there real quick. It said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. And he used that word fool. They're not meaning as far as wisdom of, again, of finance or the wisdom of this world. But he's talking about that they are foolish in the sense of morally speaking. They had decided, had not honored God, they rejected him. And therefore, bad things come about from that. That's basically what he's saying there in that passage. And a good way of looking at this, the wisdom of God versus man, you just think about the number of times in the Bible that we have things that happen that doesn't make any sense to us. For instance, you think about taking blood of an animal and put on a doorpost of the house, and that's going to actually save your family. But that's what happened during the Passover. You think about marching around the city a number of times for a week and then blowing some horns and then shouting and the walls of the city will fall down. That doesn't make any sense to us, but we accept it now because we understand what happened to Jericho. Or may think about Naaman as he was told to go to the Jordan River, dip himself 7 times in that river, and he rebelled against that idea because, you know, it just didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to him. Or he may think about the fact of how we're going to be saved today. If I would ask all people in our community here, how's a person to be saved today? We would come up with a lot of different ideas, wouldn't we? But we have to keep in mind that God's way is the way of wisdom. God's way. And again, who would imagine the fact that God would send his son down the cross for us? Who would imagine that we could be saved simply by believing that he's son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing him, and then being baptized in order to have our sins washed away by his blood? Even today, there's a lot of people that deny that because they want to be saved some other way. But true wisdom is God's way of doing what God said to do. And so as we have our song of encouragement now at this time, that we simply ask you to go by the wisdom of God, go by what the Word of God says, and if you need to respond tonight, become a child of God. Why don't you come forward and stand as we sing.